The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday evening, August 24, 2014. We're part of Sports Radio New York, you know, WGBB here. Me and Brian here, we'll discuss about the Jets and the Giants so far in the preseason. And then we'll discuss more about the Yankees, of course, in the wild card chase and the Kevin Love trade that's impacting the NBA and the Knicks. So I want to start off with the Jets here. And Brian, as you know, we have a guest here. And we know her pretty well, actually. She actually wrote for me in your college for a sports edition. So I want to introduce you to Ashley Okun, who's an intern at SNY, and she's going to talk about more about the Jets. So, Ashley, talk to me about more of the Jets earlier this week on their practice.
Obviously, at practice, you would see a heck of a lot more than you do by just watching the game. I felt like, you know, Smith had a lot of confidence as usual. He's always very confident when he says that he's grasping the game plan and how the offense works as the season progresses and how he's entering into his next season. As far as the preseason game went, I feel like finally the Jets revealed obviously who the starter is, which is, you know, Smith. I don't really feel like there was a quarterback competition.
Yeah, I didn't feel like there was a competition at all. I feel like, you know, it's funny because I feel like Rex throughout the whole preseason was saying there was a competition and all stuff. But back in my mind, I knew that Vic wasn't really competing into this, you know, starting position. He's more of just backing up Smith. Brian, what do you think about that?
Hey, Ashton, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
From what you have seen, what do you think Geno Smith has to do in this upcoming season to prove all the naysayers wrong?
What I think he has to do is, one, cut down on the interception. To just clean up his passing game, just make more passes, complete them, obviously. Just clean up his game all around and probably just learn more about the offense and the intricacies and how it works.
Now, when you had the game, did he look improved to you? Or you think that he needs to work on more things?
I think everything is always can be improved upon, obviously, as every day goes. But overall, yes, I feel like he's improved definitely from last season.
Now, Ashley, what was the vibe of talking to Smith earlier this week on terms of preparation for the team and throughout the season?
Like I said before, just an air of confidence about him that he had. I like that. You have to be confident in order to prepare for the season and make yourself better. So that's basically what I saw. I can't really elaborate, you know, past that.
You say you talked to Decker before. What did Decker say about the team?
He said that he felt like the team was coming together as a whole, both on offense and on defense, and that he's going to try to work as hard as possible in order to obviously catch as many passes as he can and just up his own game, as well as try to help everybody else on the team as needed.
Okay.
Hey, Ashley, what's your realistic, say, wins and losses do you think the Jets can have the upcoming season?
Whew, that's a hard question. I definitely think we can improve upon last season. I am just going to go with my gut here, so please do not hold me to this. I don't know. I mean, I guess if we go 10-6, that would be great.
I think 10-6 is readable.
Why is that?
For 10-6, I mean, it's an improvement in 2 wins, and with the weapons that Smith has in the defense,
right.
I mean, I think they can go anywhere. But I also want to talk to you about the defensive side, too.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Rex trying to cover it up with putting Allen at cornerback now, and now he got a concussion. Now
right. We
don't know about Patterson with his deal and the situation right now. Mm-hmm. What do you see about the defense this year? You think they have a chance to be a top 5, or you think they're going to be top 10 or top 15?
Initially, I thought they would be top 5, top 10 because of the cornerbacks they had in their corner before all the injuries happened. But now that you really don't have a cornerback there, I don't know. It really decimates the defense as a whole. You have to find somebody to plug that position. I don't know if they can do that, especially with the concussion and Patterson being unavailable for 48 hours. Why? Nobody knows. hopefully they can find somebody to plug that position. But otherwise, I think the defense will be just fine. Rex obviously knows what he's doing.
Well, I don't know if it's just fine. I mean, they have a stretch of week where they have to face four quarterbacks, and all of them have a passing attack. You have Bears, the Lions, the Chargers, the Broncos. I mean, how are they going to survive that?
I agree, but again, it's preseason. I think that over the season they'll improve that, you know, so they could go up against those kinds of teams. Hopefully they do it within the time span that they have to.
Hey, Ashley, it's Brian again. Did you see one thing that makes you, I want to say, cautious about the Jets this coming up this season?
Other than the cornerbacks and the situation with that and Geno having to improve his game, honestly, not really.
Nothing, maybe running back situation with Chris Johnson, Ivory, because, you know, Ivory is kind of an injury prone, especially with those ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how Chris Johnson's going to hold up with that knee, so any concerns on that side?
Yeah, I would say concerns on that side just because both of them are injury prone, but that's the way football goes, and hopefully they hold up for the rest of the season.
Okay. What do you think of Stephen Hill? You think he has a chance to make it this team?
Don't even get me started with that. I just think he's been really disappointing. I had high expectations when he first came here, and I thought, oh, maybe he'd improve. Maybe it's just a bad season. Obviously, no, that's not the case. I really hope that he plays a lot better than what he's been showing as of late.
Well, I have one more question, and I'll let you go, Ashley.
Uh-oh.
Is there any scenario you see Michael Vick playing this season?
Other than Geno Smith?
Yeah, other than Geno Smith.
I guess honestly, other than Geno Smith either playing so poorly that you have to put somebody else in there or him being injured to the point where it's devastating, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think that, depending on what happens to Smith this season, let's say he starts off slow.
Right.
There's a certain situation where it's a quarterback option where Ryan will put Vic in only because of the experience and he knows the system well. I mean, that's the only scenario I see it. But also, you know, like I said, if Smith gets injured, then you have to put Vic in the game. But I just don't see him really starting because of all the health issues that Vic has, and I think he just wants to prolong that and take a chance just to rest this year and be a backup and then maybe next year start somewhere else. What do you think of that?
I agree with all of that. I think it's a combination of age and the way he plays the position because he runs with such wild abandon that you're just opening yourself up to being injured all the time anyway.
Yeah.
If he protected himself more, then maybe that wouldn't be such an issue. But he doesn't play that way, so that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
So, Ashley, before you go, who do you think is going to have a better season, the Giants or the Jets?
Oh, I don't know. The Giants look pretty bad in this Super Bowl. Based on that, I would say the Jets, and maybe I would still say the Jets, honestly.
Okay.
I just think they have a better team.
Do you think that the Giants can turn things around once the season starts, or they just look at that badly?
I really hope so, but to me, it looks pretty bad. There are too many issues for them to turn it all the way around by the time the season starts.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome.
You know,
I appreciate you guys having me
on. Yeah, you can call any time. You know, I think throughout the season we'll probably talk to you more about the Jets this season and everything. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
All right, and that's Ashley from SNY, intern, talking about the Jets. Now, Brian, let's discuss this more about the Giants now, on the Giants side. We just did more of the Jets. To me, the Giants right now are in a certain situation right now, and I know it's just preseason, where they're really, really struggling. And I know it's not really the panic time right now, but if I were a Giant fan, I'd kind of panic a little bit, just a little bit, because they haven't been really consistent with the first strings. The second strings and third strings are playing pretty well, but not the first string.
I think that's why I'm not panicking, is because the second and third strings did play well. Right? The preseason is more about second and third strings showing up and see what you have more than first stringers. I'm not worried. The only thing that may bother me is Eli Manning and the West Coast offense that he's doing. He's still new to it. And he's coming off an ankle surgery in the offseason. Other than that, I'm not too worried about the Giants, I think they're going to struggle. I always said they're going to struggle first couple of games in the season and then figure things out in the end. Defensively, I want to see how the defensive ends come up, you know, how the cornerbacks play, the linebackers. That's what I'm more focused on with the Giants. Offensively, I think they're going to figure things out. What do you say?
I say it's going to take a while for them, only because it's a West Coast offense. And usually the West Coast offense takes a really long time to develop. It's not – you're not going to get it once – you need pretty much – and I heard from Steve Young, you really got to need at least a season or a year to master the West Coast offense. I mean, look at Geno Smith. It took him really a year to master that West Coast offense.
All right, but let's not put Geno Smith and Eli Manning in the same category.
Well, yeah.
Let's not do that. I believe that Eli Manning, with his capability of studying and understanding and breaking down gameplays, can put himself together and go. They do have some good pieces in the wide receiver core. They lost Wilson at running back. They lost offensive line, who retired. But I do think the Giants have enough to win at least 9-10 games.
Put them in that 10 games?
The reason why I say that, the defense isn't horrible, right? They have solid key pieces in the defense.
They stay healthy.
They made some very good moves in the offseason. They weren't big names, but they made some solid moves in the offseason. It's just, this season coming up, can the offensive line protect Eli Manning? Right? Can Eli Manning eliminate the small mistakes he made? You know, instead of having the 4 or 5 dropbacks, do 3 step backs and then hit, you know, a receiver on a seam route. Can he adjust to those and be the old Eli Manning? But I'm not too worried about the Giants. We all know it's a new system. They're going to struggle the first 4 games of the season. Can he get that together and then let's see how they play the last half?
But I feel like he doesn't really need to rely on his offensive line, because this is the reason why he's in the West Coast offense. It's more of a quick strike. It's not more of a long throw play action, take your time, throw
but
the ball.
But you still need the offensive line.
You do, because but not as much.
With the West Coast, now you're going to move more with the running backs coming out. And then it's more shorter seams, but how many wide receivers they have that can round short routes and then get a big break? Yeah, you have Victor Cruz, but who else do you have? You know, the wide receivers still have to show that they can play at this level consistently. So you need the offensive line to buy him time. It doesn't matter if it's West Coast or traditional offense. You still need the offensive line.
Too much time in general in this preseason over these first 4 games. I seen him play. I remember when it was the Jets, the first couple of series. He's taking too much time on the route, and he's got to throw it.
But
he got a quick
his
throw.
Style. That's always been Eli's style. He has 2 Super Bowl championships.
I know.
So it has worked for him.
It has. But that's the problem. That's why it's going to take a while for him to get into the system. It's not going to take a first game. Regular season, where you still get to line it up.
The first 4 games, we know they're going to struggle. They may win 2 of the 4, but they're going to struggle offensively. But this is the NFL. Anything can happen. They have playmakers on that team where they can still win games and be in it. But they are going to struggle. My concern is Eli Manning's ankle. He had ankle surgery. He has never missed a game since he became a starter in the league. Right? So he has shown that he is durable and he's dependable. What I want to see is how much can he change into the Western offense and the second half of the season. The first half of the season, I know, 4-4, probably by the 8 games in. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at them at the second half of the season, and by that time, they're supposed to have enough games under their belts to do West Coast.
Well, I got to tell you this, then. If you're going to look at the second half, what are we looking at them in the first half of the season? What if they go 0-6? Oh, what if we go 2-6? Let's just say.
I mean, you have to look at it. The Giants did that before, where they came out winning like 5 games and then lose 2 of the last 6. So the Giants, they have different years. They can be inconsistent. They can have a start out 6-0 and then go 2-6 that they did 2 seasons ago. Or they can start out 2-6 and finish 6-0.
Well, that's the problem with the Giants. They've been inconsistent. That's why they don't see Eli Manning as that elite quarterback.
He is elite. His numbers prove
his
that
numbers
he's elite.
In the playoffs, yeah.
That's what matters.
But not in the season. I mean, look at the season veterans like Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. You've seen Aaron Rodgers. You've seen these guys. Right. They've been consistent in the season and in the postseason.
Right, name it. The 3 of the 4 guys you name only have 1 Super Bowl championship. Eli has 2.
Well, actually, Brady has 3.
And then
Manning has 1.
1.
Oh, Drew Brees has 1.
Drew Brees has 1, and Rodgers has 1.
What about Roethlisberger? And Roethlisberger has a lot of good numbers.
He has 2, but Eli Manning's numbers are better than Roethlisberger's numbers. Eli threw more interception last season, yes. But if you look, since they start together, since they got drafted, 1-10, Eli Manning has better numbers than Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger just had a better team, so they put that he has more wins. But
he also has that movement, too, where he can take...
And he's a big guy. It's hard to take him down.
Eli
had a horrible season in terms of being pressured last season. But I'm more focused on his ankle and how they're going to adjust during the season.
All right, so let me tell you this, then, about the Giants' schedule in September. They're facing Detroit the first game. What do you think of that again?
That's a winnable game.
That's what in Detroit.
That's a winnable game. This is the NFL. Anything can happen in the NFL. Remember, people forget Detroit was a huge disappointment last year.
Yeah,
they were supposed to be a 12-4 team last year, making those in the playoff. That did not happen, and they were one of the most talented team in the NFL. So anything can happen. I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants defeated the Lions in the first game.
Who's gonna cover Calvin Johnson? You gonna put Roger Kamara and Calvin Johnson?
Can one player really impact the game off of?
He could take off
Calvin Johnson can catch
300
yards, have two touchdowns, and the Lions still lose. I mean, we've seen this time and time again where a player can play well and the team still lose. If that was the case, the Dallas Cowboys would have been undefeated. Because Tony Romo has great games, but they still lose. It takes the offense and defense. The Giants' defense are not horrible. They're pretty solid defense. We're going to see how, with the acquisition of Kamari and other things, how the defense is going to play. Can they take off the pressure off the offense? But I like the Giants to be a 9-7, 10-6 team.
They've always been that 10-6 and 9-7 team. Why can't it be a 12-win team?
But what they did have a 12-4 season, and they didn't go too far in the playoff. I'd rather them go 9-7 and win the Super Bowl than go 12-4 and get kicked out of the first round. I mean, what's your preference? I prefer that. I came up about playoff and Super Bowl wins than regular season victories.
Okay. Well, the second week they faced the Arizona Cardinals. At home.
Cardinals are good.
At home.
Cardinals are good. I take Cardinals.
You take Cardinals?
I take Cardinals.
You take Patterson? Peterson?
Peterson.
Is it defense?
He's a beast.
He's going to take out Victor Cruz.
He's a beast, man. He's a beast. Eli probably threw two interceptions that game. At least two interceptions.
He's a beast. The Cardinals.
He's just a beast. But I like the Giants going 9-7, 10-6.
Okay, what about the Houston Texans? At home.
I'm taking Giants.
The Texans?
I'm taking Giants against Texans. Their offense isn't proven. Yes, you have Johnson.
Clowney.
He's not proven yet. He hasn't played one NFL game yet. Like, he is a physical beast. He's not proven yet. So, their defense is going to be nice, but the offensive game, I'm not really too impressed
with
them.
All right. What about Washington?
I have to take the Giants over Washington.
So you're saying they're going to go 3-1? In these first four games.
With the anemic offense. Because look what you're naming. Washington have, with their acquisitions, right? They look good on paper. But how will the Giants attack RG3 in defense? Remember, the Giants have a solid defense. Pierre Paul had an anemic season last year. It wasn't horrible. But for the season he was coming off of, it was not up to his standard. How is he going to rebound? Like, there's so many different pieces on defense that can make the Giants go by on a really solid defense and Eli not making mistakes and still win games. So even if the offense is not going to be a high-powered offense, they can still win with a solid defense, solid run game, and minimal mistakes by Eli Manning.
Let me ask you this question. Why do you have so much high expectation for Giants of being successful? That's because not discounting the two Super Bowls. Let's take that out.
This is the NFL, right? This is the NFL, right?
Yeah.
It takes offense and defense to win games. You can be poor offensively, but if you make enough plays, right?
Yeah.
Score probably 20 points, put your defense on the field, your defense can win the game for you. So because of that, I'm not discounting the Giants. Yes, their offense in the preseason look horrible.
It looks horrendous.
However, their defense do look impressive at times. I cannot just look at their offense and judge them on their offense. You have to look at it from the whole perspective, the whole picture, offense and defense and special teams. The Giants, Wilson is gone, but the Giants do make, they're known to have a pretty decent special teams. So when you look at the whole picture, they're not that bad. Yes, the offense looks horrible, but they can surprise us. Eli Manning has surprised many people. The defense is solid, and the special teams are solid. So I am not going to just bash them because the offense looked as horrible this preseason. No, I won't do that. I won't do this.
I'm going to discard the two Super Bowls from Eli Manning. It's a whole new year. Only for this reason. I'm taking for a whole new year of them and being in a new system with the same players but in a new system. And the reason why I tell that Giants are not going to do well in the first 8 games of the season is because this West Coast offense is going to take a while for him to get adjusted to. Because most of the time, especially when you play a regular style offense where it's a play action, long drive, you wait 5 seconds and you throw the ball, you're less than that. But in this case, he needs to have quick strikes. We don't know if Eli's going to have quick strikes in the throws. I seen it in the first series against the Jets, but then when the Jets started to put pressure on him, he started to do terrible, and he has to realize that he has to throw that ball quick enough because that's how the West Coast offense is made.
I think you forgot that Eli Manning, when they had Steve Smith on the team, he threw the most short passes in the NFL that year, that season. So when he has really, very good route runners, he can throw short passes and be effective at it. The problem with Eli is if you give him too much time to think, most times he makes the wrong choice and wrong decision. That's Eli Manning's problem. It's giving him too much time. I'm not worried about the short time. I'm really not.
You don't worry about the offense at all. At least a little bit.
I don't think Eli's going to be as bad as he was last season.
I really don't think that.
So because of that, and how many games did they win last season?
How many games did they win
last season?
7.
All right. So I believe they're going to be better than 7 games. That's why I give them 9.
I'll give them 9 too. But the only reason I'll give them 9 is because they're going to be struggling though throughout those 16 games. They're going to win close games.
My whole thing has always been, the Giants is the type of football team that once they get into the playoff, they're going to give you problems. Regular season, they can be high and they can be low. Once come playoff time, they're always clicking. So, as a fan of the New York Giants, I'm always can they make the playoffs? Because once they make the playoffs, they always turn it up. I would love to see them have a consistent game week by week, win 12 games. Well, we saw that. We saw them win 12 games, go 12-4, and then lost in the first game to Carolina a couple of seasons ago. So we've seen them have a very good regular season and then not do anything in the playoffs.
No, that's a lot of teams.
And we've seen the Giants win 9 games, get into the playoff, Eli gets hot, Super Bowl, twice. So which one do you prefer? I prefer celebrating, going to the parade, Super Bowl, than having a very good regular season and out in the first round of the playoff. That's just me.
Okay, we'll see what the Giants are this season. Now let's go back to the Jets for a little bit. Now, hearing from Ashley, he's just saying that Geno Smith has a lot of confidence right now, that the offense looks like it's on point and command. What I see from the first 3 games for the Jets is that their offense is in sync. They understand where the routes are. They understand where each person has to be in terms of the receivers. I mean, one play that impressed me in that play against the Giants, actually, was when Geno Smith did a throw against Decker. That wasn't a touchdown, but it was still an incredible throw. I thought learned from me that Smith has grown up from that from last year, that he's capable of making throws, which he is. Mm-hmm. And now I can see that Jets already take that next step.
I mean, he did say he wanted to be in the top 5 quarterbacks in the next season, right?
Yeah.
So, and he, right now he has shown that he has the ability to be in the top 5, top 10. So I wouldn't say I'm surprised by his confidence. When you say something like that, he has to back it up. So I'm excited to see Geno Smith play because he said those words and because he had an impressive preseason where people didn't expect to see his progress that far, because people have been always saying, well, he doesn't have good work ethic, which we all know is incorrect.
Yeah, that was incorrect.
I am excited to see him develop as a quarterback and as a leader, because you cannot be a good quarterback without being a good leader, because you're leading that offense. You have to always be thinking, moving, studying videos and everything. So I'm going to be on my couch watching the Jets play every game this season to see how Geno Smith plays.
You think Michael Vick is putting pressure on Smith, though?
No.
At all?
I think Michael Vick, if what the rumors, what, you know, what's been written is true, he's been more of a mentor, and he's just accepting the role. If his number gets called, he's going to play, is Michael Vick. But I think he has a lot to offer Geno Smith in terms of experience. Make sure he can give him some guidelines. Michael Vick has one of the best games we ever saw against Washington, that Monday night when he just killed them with his arms and his legs. So he has a lot of things he can show and teach Geno Smith in that area of expertise.
Okay, well, then I'm going to ask you this question, and all the listeners can hear at 631-888-8811. Will Geno Smith have a breakout season?
I believe so. I mean, I think he's going to have a better season than he had statistically than last season. I mean, I don't think he's going to throw as many interceptions, but you never know. It is the NFL. Defenses change every week. But I do believe Geno Smith will have better numbers than he did last season.
Well, I'm going to tell you my takeaway of why Geno Smith will have a breakout season after this break on Sports Talk 1240 AM WGBB in Long Island.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Welcome back to Women Memorial Brian White of Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB here in Long Island. We're going back to talking about Jets and Giants, preseason game and upcoming season.
Yeah, we're just talking about with Eric about our record right here. And Eric, you said that you think Giants are going to go 6-10. Why do you say that?
Well, first off, I'm a Giant fan, so let's get that cut out. Their offensive line is in shambles, in my opinion. Jeff Schwartz goes down. They lose Deal and they lose Snead last year. Offensive line was a huge question last year, and it's a bigger question now. I don't put a lot of stock into the preseason, obviously, but Eli Manning has looked beyond bad. And going to a new offense that doesn't suit him, he's not a guy that likes to scramble in the pocket that much. So to me, it doesn't really make sense to bring in that type of offensive coordinator. So those are two question marks. And then the defensive line, too. You lose Justin Tuck. Jason Pierre-Paul didn't have a good year last year or in 2012. They need DeMontre Moore to step up. I just don't have a lot of confidence in them. I'm going downgrade from last year 7-9. I think they go 6-10 this year.
Obviously, I disagree. I think 9-7. But everything that he said is valid. Mm-hmm. The offensive line was horrible last year. You know, they lost Snead and Deal. They were leaders on that team, not just offensive linemen, but they were leaders on the team. Defensively, I think they're going to be better defensively. I don't think Jason Pierre-Paul, he's coming in the contract year. This is the last year before he goes in the contract. He wants that big money. So don't be surprised if you see an 18, 20, you know, sack season.
Let's just hope it's not a Hakeem Nicks when he was in his contract year last year.
That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, Giants, for me, I'm saying they're going 9-7, but they're going to be struggling 9-17. They're not going to be a team where they're going to be hot or cold. They're going to be inconsistent on their wins and losses.
Here's the thing with all that. I think the reason why Eli Manning struggled is because of his ankle injury, and he's still recovering.
So you really didn't think it has nothing to do with the system at all?
I don't think so. But the reason why I said that, even though they didn't play West Coast in his, you know, his 10-year career, there are short stints where they did try that type of movement, and he was successful. Now, they don't have the same type of receivers who are very good route runners that run, you know, short routes, mm-hmm. but he can get it out quickly. But he does have experience. And when he was at Mississippi, they did run that shortly. So looking at his experience, I don't think that's a problem. His ankle, though. And that's why I said I'm not putting any sacks in the preseason because he's coming off an ankle injury. He didn't work out that much. So he was trying to get back in shape, get back in football shape, make sure he has that good weight. So I'm not really putting that much stock. 9-7 fits the Giants right now. I wouldn't be surprised to go 6-10, obviously, because of the offensive line. But like I said before, they did make some very quiet acquisition of offensive line.
Especially defense, too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not D-line, but their secondary is arguably the best in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
Well, Kamari. Rogers Kamara, yeah.
So they made some very good, sneaky, quiet moves that are big impacts on the football field. And they had some very good draft choices in terms of offensive line and D-line. So I'm just going to sit back and want to just watch the games to see how the Giants actually perform. Because they can surprise a lot of people.
I was just going to say, it's one of those seasons where they could go 6-10 or they could go 11-5.
Yes, anything could happen.
For all sure.
Right, so let me get back to Jets on Geno Smith having a breakout season. I'm going to tell you why. There's three things that I see on Geno Smith that I've seen a lot of improvement in. His decision-making, of course, his confidence, and his weapons around him. I mean, there's a lot more weapons this year than he has in last year. But I could also make the case that what he did this offseason and nobody knew, that I knew when I read an article last year on him about his work ethic and what it is that this year he did a lot of film work. So he split pretty much all the film work, all the teams he's going to face this year on the defensive coordinators from the Lions, from the Bills, you know, all the teams that he's going to face. And he studied them countless hours, probably around 6 hours a day, probably on just the defense of their scheme and all that stuff. And to me, that tells me that how competitive and how serious Smith is, that I feel that he could have a breakout year this season because of that and also his weapons around him.
Well, I do think that Geno Smith is going to be a good starting quarterback in the league for a very long time. I mean, I never thought he was a superstar type caliber, like to say RG3 was coming out of college. But I do think him being pass first puts him in a better position because now his injury, being injured, is lower than, say, RG3.
Yeah.
Right? Because he loves to slide, unlike RG3 who dives. But I also believe that the Jets this year are going to be improving, are going to improve more on offense with Geno Smith. I am dying to see how well he plays, though.
Well, I'm going to say this also about his athleticism, for instance. And the reason why he doesn't rely on too much is because it's more of the passing. He's more of a passer than a runner. So I'm thinking, as a comparison about the other quarterbacks around the league, like Johnny Manziel, he ran like a 4.6, and Michael Vick in his prime ran like a 4.3. But they won't last long in the league. When you saw it, Michael Vick wasn't last in the league because he runs a lot and he's going to take a lot of hits. Smith is not that type of person who's going to take a lot of hits. He's going to run when he has to run, like how Aaron Rodgers plays. He's going to run when he has to run.
I don't think Michael Vick didn't last long because he was a mobile quarterback. He didn't last long because, one, he didn't have very good offensive line. And secondly, he never slid either. He was the type of quarterback, like RG3, that chose to dive first and get extra yards, then to slide and make it on the next play. That was Michael Vick. And Michael Vick was entertaining. Everyone was talking about Michael Vick. You never knew what he was going to do. So that's the difference. I think Geno is a pass-first type quarterback. Then, if you pressure him, he can be mobile and he can hurt you with his legs. But I think the Jets are going to be better offensively. Defensively, I think they're going to actually be worse than last year, where they're still going to be top 10, top 15 defense. Because they have a couple injuries on defense.
Well, let's go back to more of the athleticism side. You know, like in sports in general, everybody loses their athleticism as they get older. You know, like even NBA players, they get older, they're not as quick, or they could dunk the ball, all that stuff, and rely more on their shooting and jump shot and being adjusted to how old they are. So the reason why I say that is because quarterbacks usually are more of the pocket presence, like Peyton Manning, like Drew Brees, guys that are in the pocket and don't really run a lot at all. And they rely on that over the few years. While you see these running quarterbacks that lose, that like to run a lot and use their athleticism and try escaping all that stuff, like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, for instance. To me, the best way that Smith can be used in the Jets, especially over the past few years if he keeps a starting job, is to be more of the pocket guy. Don't be trying to do something like run, for instance, like all the time. I know he's not doing that right now because he's a pass-first guy. But if he gets to that point where in the season where he starts to just run more and not throw, it's going to really hurt him, especially if he doesn't slide properly like we've seen from RG3, for instance.
I do think Geno Smith has the potential to be like Donovan McNabb.
McNabb?
Yes, Donovan McNabb. People always forget. I guess that guys have a short-term memory. But he was a very good passer, and he was when being pressured, he picked up yards with his feet. He was a mobile quarterback at times. But he always threw first and then run second. He wasn't as entertaining as Michael Vick was. However, Donovan McNabb, he give you very good. He was very consistent in his years at Philly. Always go to the playoffs. Geno Smith can accomplish that same type of feat. I think Geno Smith have more star power than McNabb did.
Geno Smith has more star power.
I think so. In terms of his personality, Geno Smith is more controversial than McNabb. McNabb was more reserved. He was more conservative type of player. But even when T.O. was there throwing the first, Geno wants that spotlight. He said, well, you know what? After my second season, I'm going to be in the top five, top quarterback in the league. He's taking on that pressure. And what we have seen so far in the preseason is that, he's actually taking on the challenge and may actually prove us wrong.
All right, so I'm going to tell you this then. Just schedule the first month. They're going to face Oakland the first game. You see that as a win?
That's a Jets win. I think so.
Okay, how about Green Bay?
Jets lost.
Secondary?
Yeah.
Exposed?
Pretty much.
All right, how about Chicago? At home.
Jets can win that game.
Shootout or close game?
Close game.
I see a shootout in that game.
I don't.
I'm going to explain to you why I see a shootout.
Chicago defense is no joke.
I know it is no joke. But I just feel like their offense is a little bit more better than they can compete with.
They have very good offense, but their defense is no joke. Don't be surprised if it becomes a close game instead of a shootout.
Okay, at home against Detroit.
Jets.
So you go 2-2?
Yeah.
You think any corporate controversy with Vic in that if they go 2-2?
I don't think so. If they go 2-2, no. Why would they be? You're 2-2.
Well, they go 1-3.
1-3, there's going to be pressure on Rex. Because remember, Rex surprised everyone. He didn't surprise me last season, but he surprised everyone last season and went 8-8 when everyone expected him to go probably,
4-12,
6-10. So because of that surprise, people are expecting the Jets to be 9-7, 10-6.
Or they go 0-4.
Oh, Michael Vick.
Michael Vick
is getting thrown into that.
Okay, they go 3-1.
They go 3-1,
It's the Vick's thing goes down a little bit. Yeah. Well, I'm going to explain why I feel like the Jets, I'm going to explain to you actually why the Jets, I feel like they have to be this year the offense that carries the team. And the reason why I say that is because the secondary is weak right now and they got to rely on the front seven. But the weapons that they have right now, I feel like they have a chance to be that team where they can carry them with their offense. What do you think?
I disagree with you, but I do agree with you saying that the Jets have improved offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to make a statement on offense, but I don't think the offense are going to be a staple.
They got their running backs, Chris Johnson, Ivory Powell. They can really rely on that.
Injuries happen, and running, as we know right now, running backs aren't producing as much as before. There's not that much stake put on running backs' shoulders as much as before.
But there's more depth in this team in terms of running backs.
So I'm not really putting that much stake in one basket, eggs in one basket. I'm not doing that. But I do believe that they have improved offensively. Decker, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people being a number one receiver. I think Geno Smith is not going to throw that many interceptions. I like the Jets being 10-6. I like the improvement on all across the board. I am cautious about the secondary and the injuries that they have.
Look, I say 12-4, 10-6, but
I don't know how you get that 12-4.
Okay, the reason I go 12-4 is because I feel like this year their offense can carry this team.
You do know the division they're in, right?
Yeah, I know.
It's a weak division, but
I feel like Tom Brady's time is over. That's my opinion. I feel like the decade of him winning the division is over.
Good luck with that one.
I mean, he's getting older. Look, I know the defense improved a lot because they got the Darrelle Revis and a lot of linebackers, but I still feel like they're not that same team that they were a few years ago where they could just dominate on everybody.
I mean, they went to the championship last year.
They did.
So, say he's done, and I do believe the Jets have improved. I don't think they're going to win the division.
I feel like they could challenge the Patriots, though.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if Miami give the Jets a run for their money to be second place in that division.
Miami. I don't trust Miami at all.
But I wouldn't be surprised. They have a very good young quarterback.
Tannehill? You think he's a good quarterback?
Of course. Are you saying that Tannehill is not a good quarterback?
I don't see any, like, star power in Tannehill.
See, star power and good quarterback are two different things. Star power has to do with your personality and people liking you and go watch the show. Being a good quarterback means you get more touchdowns, more first down,
and
interceptions.
You think he gets more touchdowns, Tannehill?
Than who, Geno Smith?
Yeah.
Of course.
What about E.J. Manuel?
No, not E.J. Manuel.
Why?
Because I think he's still more of a project than a serious starter.
They got Sammy Watkins, but he's injured right now.
Exactly. That's what I say. I think they're more of a project right now in Buffalo than.
Look, I think in the division, you're going to see Brady probably have more touchdowns, but you're going to see Smith probably have the second most touchdowns in the division. That's my opinion.
I wouldn't be surprised if Miami surprised everybody and gets second in that division. I would not.
I just don't see Miami as more of a threat like the Buffalo Bills. I don't see them
objectively
more of a threat.
Speaking, that division is not a division to sleep on. Those four teams, if they're all healthy and can play ball, play football, anything can happen in that division.
I mean, the reason I say the Jets have a chance to win the division is because of their offense. I mean, the defense is going to be there. It's going to, but I just don't see it this year as being the team that's going to carry them, the defense, because of their secondary. Their front seven could put pressure on them, but I just don't see them as more of the carrying defense as we've seen over the past few years with Rex Ryan. I feel like the offense is going to be more of the balance, and they're going to take more shots, take more touchdowns. They got the weapons. They got the running back. So I still see them as the team could probably go 12-4 because of that.
I do know this. Jets and Giants are talking to town.
Yeah.
In terms of coming up, you know, we saw all the
Giants preseason. Actually talking a lot more about than the Jets are talking about the Giants, to be honest.
True. However, I think just natural fans are excited for both teams in different retrospects. The Jets looks like they're going to be a playoff team. The Giants made some solid moves, but they have two offensive linemen retired. They don't look so good at offense. So it's going to be drama-filled season in New York. So we're going to transition to the other side. We're going to talk about MLB, Yankees. They won tonight.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting win.
Yeah, tough inning.
It's a three-game sweep. What do you think of the Yankees' chance of making the playoffs?
I see him not making it, to be honest. I feel like Jeter's last game in the Yankees team will be his last game. And his last game as a career will be on the road against Boston. That's what I see.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No.
Look,
the captain just has to make the playoffs. There's no way they're going to go two seasons back-to-back. Mariano Rivera retired last season. They didn't make the playoffs. I don't see them missing the playoffs 2 years in a row when the captain is No. Mr. October, no.
I can give you a case.
Not happening.
I can give you a case, first of all. You know that the year the stadium was closed down, they didn't make the playoffs that year. Then the Rivera thing, they didn't make the playoffs that year. What do you mean? The same thing with Jeter.
But they were back-to-back. They weren't back-to-back.
They weren't. But I could make another case by saying this. The Yankees have been an inconsistent team throughout the MLB season.
But is anyone surprised of the inconsistency?
Well, the Yankees or the MLB?
The Yankees.
Oh.
Are anyone? Remember, I told you from like before the season started.
Yeah.
Yankees may win maybe 90 games, 80-plus games. I think they have 67 games. Yeah. 67 wins right now. So they're on pace to win that amount of games. So they can still make the playoff and make noise in the playoff.
But
Tanaka is coming back off injury.
Well, yeah.
You know, they have some good pieces in place. I don't know what happened to Gardner. Gardner is hitting home runs. offensively stepped up. He's improved tremendously as a hitter. He's a still great defensive player. Don't sleep on my Yankees, man. Don't sleep on my Yankees.
I'm a Yankees fan, too, but I'm being more realistic right here. Yeah, look at them from their offensive side.
The Yankees
side.
Are three games behind.
They are, but you got to look at from the
do
offensive side.
Do not sleep on the Yankees, man.
Look at the offensive side, though. They've been inconsistent throughout the season on their offense. There have been stretches where they came and hit for five straight games, and then they start hitting again.
How many times have we seen Tanaka win games by himself?
Yeah, but we don't know Tanaka's health.
But what I'm saying is a pitcher can also win games. The Yankees can win some games with some pitching.
But they can't win it with their offense. That's the problem with this team. They rely too much on their bullpen. That's why their bullpen is tired right now.
They're on a three-game winning streak.
They are, but their bullpen is tired.
Let's see how they do. I do believe if they don't win the division with their, you know, Orioles are playing well still, they can make, I think the Yankees can make the playoffs.
It's slim, but it's...
There's a chance. That's all we care about is a chance.
Yeah, like last year, there was a chance they had to make it, but they didn't make it. You can make the same case for this year.
They have a better chance this year than last year.
They did, because they have more better players this year. But I'm saying they can't hit the ball. That's what I'm saying. They can't hit. They've seen games where they can't hit at all. They either strike out, ground out, fly out, line out. They can't even hit until like the fifth game of whatever the team they're facing. That's why I don't see the Yankees really making the postseason. And if they make the postseason, they'll be probably out the first game.
I disagree with that. Because there's something special about this season, whereas we know that the Yankees weren't going to be that good.
I thought they were going to be good.
Seriously?
With the players that they have,
but
I thought
they
were
going to
be a lot
more better than Tanaka than was going to be in the major.
I think I knew what Tanaka was going to be.
I mean, we know what he did in Japan, but no one expected him to come out with that knuckleball and be as good as he was. Don't give me that. No. Don't do that. But the Yankees are in a good position to where they can either win the division if they keep going this winning streak they have right now.
I don't see winning the division.
Or they can slide in, go in the playoff any way that they can, and make a noise in the playoff. The captain of the town, every city he goes to is like, oh, here's a ceremony of retirement. I'm tired of retirement. Just win some ball games. Crying out loud. Let's do that.
They can't, but that's the thing. They can't. It's like you and the other Yankee fans. They got to stop being delusional with this team right now. Their offense is terrible right now.
They are above 500.
They are. And it's a miracle because Girardi pretty much done the best job he's ever done in probably his career.
We don't care about that.
Well, you don't care about Girardi doing the best job. So you're saying any other manager.
I care about Girardi doing the job. What I don't care about is, they get lucky. No.
You got to have luck.
They're above 500. They are a couple games behind.
Because of Girardi.
That's his job.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He's getting paid millions of dollars. That's his job. All I care about is not for them to win and go to the playoffs.
Which is soon to
none. MLB playoffs is not the same without the Yankees. I don't care about playoffs in baseball if the Yankees are not in it. That's just me personally. You could be different, but I love baseball when the Yankees are in the playoffs.
We have a guest in here. You can say your name and your bar. Where are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn.
Oh, hello. And your name? Your name?
David. David Kelt. KELTZ.
Oh, okay. Nice to meet you, Steve.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Oh, you have a question about the Yankees?
Yeah, well, I was just responding about the post on Twitter as to whether or not they're going to make the playoffs.
And what do you think?
I think they're going to make the playoffs if we can get Tanaka back healthy.
That's my man!
Hopefully within the next 10 days or so. I think, Jeter's been in a funk the last 2 weeks, and we really need him to, get out of it because, he's hitting .265 right now, and him and Gardner and Ellsbury really solidify the top of the lineup.
Yes, sir.
And, if they can get going, that'll take a lot of the pressure off Teixeira and McCann, although they've both been better of late.
Okay, well,
you know baseball. Well, thank you for calling.
I agree with all you said, but the thing that I see is that it's consistency with the offense. That's what I see from this team. There's been stretches throughout the season where they cannot hit at all, and there have been stretches where they go on a hot streak. That's why I really see them make the playoffs. I mean, it's slim to none right now. I feel like they have a chance to make the second wild card, but not win the division.
Oh, they're not catching the Orioles. Forget about it. They're not going to make up seven games.
Yeah, that's a done deal. I mean, I can't disagree with that. That they're not gonna, you know, catch up with the Orioles. I could see them get the second wild card, but it all just depends on if their offense is consistent enough to have a stretch where they can hit the ball and rely not small ball but hit, you know, home runs, which they haven't done as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, I think I read or I heard that last night was the first time they had scored 5 runs in like
a
month or something like that. I mean, that's embarrassing. If anything, you know, the pitching staff has overachieved. You could argue
overachieved. Yeah, the bullpen has overachieved a lot.
The bullpen is definitely overachieved.
I can't say they overachieved because they're getting paid millions to play the sport. That's what they get paid pitch.
Yeah, but the bullpen is probably the best bullpen in MLB right now. If you think about it.
Yeah, but they can't say they overachieved. They're doing their job.
See,
the offense underachieved, yes, but you cannot say the bullpen overachieved. No. You're getting paid millions of dollars to play the sport. You better come and do your best.
What do you think?
I think that when you're talking about a bullpen that just lost the greatest closer of all time, and you have David Robertson really for the first time becoming a closer, and you have Dellin Betances, who's kind of, you know, shown flashes of Java 2007, where he just kind of burst on the scene. I think you could argue that they've overachieved.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really agree with you. Thank you, Steven. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
Hope you have a good night. You too. That's what I've been telling you. I mean, the bullpen has overachieved a lot this season.
I disagree, obviously.
You can't disagree, though.
This is why I disagree. How you going to tell me I can't disagree? What are you saying to me right now? Listen, you're getting paid millions of dollars. You get paid to play the game. You love the game, so you go, you train, you practice, you do what you have to do to produce, right? Yes, no one expected them to be as good as they were doing right now. However, you getting to tell me you're overachieved. No. You get paid money. People come out. I sit up and watch the game. Go on my phone, watch the game so I can see you play. Don't tell me they're overachieved. They're doing their jobs.
I'll ask Eric.
Don't tell me that.
Eric, what do you think of the game? You overachieved the bullpen this year?
Well, from their expectations, I think they overachieved. Like, in the preseason, you looked at the names, Robertson, the new closer from Mariano last year. Betances. No one knew who Betances was. Yeah. So from expectations, I think that they overachieved.
They overachieved. Nobody knew what Betances
was going
to be.
In terms of expectation, but for you doing your job, if you're a closer, your job is to close the game.
But not every closer can be like Robertson.
Yeah, and of course, with Mariano going down last year, no one expected Robertson to have this type of good year.
Yeah, nobody expected him to be like that. You gotta understand. Look at Betances.
But then
nobody expected Betances.
Kelly also. Kelly's been relatively good.
Look at the relievers.
We knew he had some potential. We knew Kelly had potential. No, don't give me that. We knew Kelly had potential. I mean, he's been
very good though.
Yeah, more than we expect him to be that good. But we knew he had the potential. Don't give me Kelly. Don't give me that. But not no overachieving. You don't get paid $1 million to tell
they
me on national television tell me you're overachieving.
They overachieved.
No.
Right, but if you're going to make that argument, then like every player is going to overachieve.
Yeah, you got to think about that then.
No.
Yeah. Who underachieved that?
Relatively,
give
they're
me three
overachieving.
Players from the team who underachieved this year.
Who underachieved this
underachieved.
Year? Derek Jeter underachieved.
Derek Jeter underachieved.
Carlos Beltran.
Underachieved.
Ellsbury, in my opinion, is underachieving.
Ellsbury's consistent, though, throughout the whole season. Are you kidding me? He didn't underachieve. He is what he is.
Nah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think if you want to say overachieve, I would say Gardner, but.
Okay, Gardner overachieved.
He improved. I don't think he overachieved. I think he just improved his offensive game because he's always been a great defensive player. You know, and he's always good at stealing bases. But don't give me no overachieving. No. When you are a professional athlete, you get paid money to play the game. Don't give me no overachieving nonsense. Play the game.
If you're going to talk about underachievers, too, you got to throw in Brian McCann
McCann underachieved, yeah. He underachieved. Beltran underachieved.
I mean, he hit the home run. He did good tonight. So I'm giving
right,
I'm
of course. Him but
he,
Beltran with his injuries, but still, besides that, his stats are ridiculous for getting paid $15 million a year.
That's an achievement, man.
I'm going to end this right now. The Yankees, they have a slim chance to make the playoffs. That's all I'm going to say. But it's slim.
I don't think
only
it's slim. I think they have a good chance.
Only because their offense. Only because their offense, I say they have a slim chance. That's the only reason why. I feel like the bullpen's going to be there if they're not tired, because right now they're fatigued right now. But if their offense is going to be there, they're going to be there.
Hey, they're only 3 games out.
Well,
That's it.
But it could change in a week. They could lose 5 straight and get back to 8 games down again. So
before we go, I just want to go on the boxing scene in New York. Jay-Z's company, Roc Nation Sports, made a big splash last week when they, you know, won the first, the purse bid in Puerto Rico for WBO championship with Peter Quillin by bidding $1.6 million, which is going to be the best payday for both Karabov, who's a top-ranked promoter, and for Peter Quillin, who's from Brooklyn, New York, and the fight is going to be held in New York. And we have Chris Algieri, who's from Long Island, Long Island's own Chris Algieri, will be fighting Manny Pacquiao coming up this November, and the press tour is going. So boxing scene in Long Island and in New York, and so it's going back to what it used to be. That's a lot. That's a good thing. A lot of people need to look out for.
Yeah, it really is interesting. We got a little bit more time. I want to talk about our little fantasy football draft that we got tomorrow, and we got 2 minutes to go. Now, you know, all of us are in the draft tomorrow, so I would make the case for you that running back should be the first pick in the draft.
No, no. Like Bill Parcells said, you never take a running back in the first round. Never, ever. You never take running back, whether it's fantasy or real draft.
I agree in real life. I think it's all about the offensive
you
line.
You never take a running back in the first round, and I believe that.
So you better take QB.
So QB, offensive lineman.
Who's your number one pick in fantasy this year?
In football. Who are you going to pick?
I'm going quarterback for sure.
But who are you going to pick?
Well, hopefully, I could get.
Well, it's dramatized, so we don't know who's gonna be.
You know, so hopefully, I could get.
If you get one,
if I get one,
you go Manning. I mean, he did have the best year last year out of any player. So.
No, I'm not going Manning. I'm going the bad boy,
Aaron Rodgers. I knew we were gonna pick Aaron Rodgers. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. You know, it's gonna be interesting season of fantasy football with us radio hosts.
I am Brian White. That's Raymond Murrah.
On Sports Talk 1240 AM and WGBB in Long Island. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week with new hosts.